So what you didn't hear in that introduction was anything that said that I know anything about bovine reproduction. And I don't. And it's not why I'm here. I'm an epidemiologist, and I largely study infectious diseases of cattle with the idea of trying to understand how we might manage cattle to prevent those problems. And recently, we've been studying, a group of that I'll acknowledge in a minute, have been studying pneumonia in calves prior to weaning, and this is where our two worlds collide, and I'll try to address some of the questions that we've discovered relating some of the positive management practices, including estrus synchronization, and the risk for calves to acquire pneumonia. Okay, so let me just acknowledge really briefly that what I'm talking about is work that's been done by a large number of people. I'll just mention my graduate student, Min Wang, who is a student from China who's done a lot of the work on the economics of this disease, and I'll tell you about some of that in a minute. And I want you to think pretty broadly about this problem. So the tradition in veterinary medicine is to, you know, think about this host-agent interaction. You know, sometimes we'll think about what's going on in the environment, but it's really about, you know, what's the bug, and is there an antibiotic or some drug that will kill it, or is there some vaccine that will prevent the infection? And for this problem, I want you to think a little broadly about that, because there are much broader issues that sometimes affect disease ecology. For example, think about the drought years that we've recently gone through and your decision to maybe get rid of some cows, right? Don't have enough grass to support the cows, so a very appropriate decision. I'm going to reduce my herd size. When it starts to rain again, I'll bring some cows back in. And perfectly logical decision, but the result of that decision is that, yes, you may have also brought in BVD virus, like Dr. Hanslechek just talked about. You may have brought in Yoni's disease. You may have brought in, with the purchase of those cows, some new diseases that you hadn't faced before. So in a systems thinking approach, right, those decisions that were maybe made years before the problem occurred were somehow related to the problem. So there is a science to of systems thinking, and we're trying to apply that to livestock production, and these system dynamics models, you know, look at this idea that there may be some long delay, some decision that was made about how you made your hay, or where you acquired certain feeds, or where you purchased cattle, or the decision to do some other management practice like estrus synchronization, and how that might come around, and that decision might bite you, later on in the future. And so our challenge, if we're thinking about systems and how these systems might cause the problem, is to understand, you know, where this happens in the system, and is there some leverage point where you can change the system? So the beef cattle industry is a system. The entire industry is a system. Every individual farm and livestock operation, ranch, is a system. And I'm just going to focus on a little piece of it, first of all, the cow-calf sector. And we're going to take a risk analysis approach to thinking about the problem. In risk analysis, there's three different phases. Risk assessment phases, where you ask questions like, well, what is it that we ought to be worried about? Is that a serious problem? How likely is that to happen? And how does that compare to other risks that we take every day? The risk management phase, you might ask questions like, well, what can we do to minimize that risk? And if we do that, is it going to cause a problem? Is it going to increase some other risk? And in the documentation and communication phase, you talk about, does everybody understand what our plan is? Did we write it down? Did we write down what we did? And can we evaluate whether it will work? And I'm going to spend most of my time talking about the risk assessment and a little bit of speculation about risk management for this problem. So here's a calf that just hit the ground alive, and I just want you to think for a second, what hazards does this calf face between now and weaning? right? So you're probably thinking, well, in the first few weeks of life, its big risks are the weather, being injured, predators. There's a number of things. In fact, leading infectious disease problem would be scours, okay? After 3 weeks of age, from 3 weeks of age until weaning, the leading cause of death in baby calves is pneumonia. And so that's what I'm going to talk about, is pneumonia in calves prior to weaning. I'm less interested in the host-pathogen interactions, what's the bug and what's the, you know, what vaccine, what antibiotic do we need to use? There's other people that are working on those questions. I'm more interested in what's going on outside of that animal that's influencing its risk in that herd to have this disease. So we first looked at, well, we've looked at this a number of ways. I'm going to give you some results from several studies, and one of those is looking at the economics. Is this really even an important problem or not? We did a series of meetings, and we mailed out surveys to producers with problems that have reported problems to their veterinarians or to university personnel in Nebraska, South Dakota, and North Dakota, asking them a little bit about their experience. So we asked them questions just about their operation. We asked them to give us some estimates about the cost of BRD prevention, the use of vaccines. How much does it cost for the vaccines? How much do you spend on labor to administer those vaccines? Similar questions about the cost of treating calves with pneumonia, and a little bit about the role of the veterinarian in that process. So I'm just going to talk about the cost of treating pre-weaning BRD. And so here's some costs for medicine and labor costs. And 50% of the respondents reported values that are in the little boxes there, right? So 50% of the medicine costs were, I'll just give you the average. Medicine cost was $13, and that ranged from $3 per calf to $30 per calf. So somebody was getting some pretty cheap drugs. And then there was labor cost, which was an average of about $20, but anywhere from $1 per calf to $100 per calf. So extremely variable cost for labor. How could anybody spend $100 to treat a calf for pneumonia? Well, you know better than I do, but I can imagine a scenario where, you know, I'm out checking water tanks and looking at the calves, and I see that there's some calves that are sick, and that means that I've got to go back to the house, and I've got to saddle up a horse, and I've got to hook up the trailer, and I've got to come back and try to get that calf into some kind of restraint or rope it and treat it in the pasture, and I'm probably going to need some help, and I'm going to invest half a day just in getting that calf treated. Does that sound reasonable? That happens sometimes. All right, and if we looked at how long producers reported that it takes to treat a calf, on average they said about 30 minutes per calf, and they said that, you know, about 60% of that time is gathering, 20% sorting. Only 10% of the time is actually given the drug. And look, somebody said 240 minutes per calf. That's the 4 hours. That's the guy that had to go back to the ranch and get the horse and the trailer and on, right? Spend half a day to get a calf treated. Well, Min also gave us some estimates on the total cost of BRD. And so she looked at the cost of BRD deaths, the cost for treatment from some of this data that I just gave you, and the losses from performance, so the lowered weaning weights. And she used data from USDA. Yeah, she used the data from the survey that I just discussed, and she used some information from some peer-reviewed papers. And I'm just going to skip to the bottom line. The estimate is that this disease, pneumonia in calves prior to weaning, costs the beef cattle industry in the United States $165 million per year. And that's $5.63 per cow or $28 per cow in affected herd. So if you're a herd that has the problem, on average, it's probably costing you $28 for every cow in your herd. Stick that number in your pocket for a minute because we're going to use it in a little bit. And if you applied this cost to the number of sick calves, the cost would be about $216 per sick calf. Death loss was the largest component. In total, death loss represented 76% of the total cost. Three quarters of the total cost is because of failing to be able to wean a calf. And this estimate does not include money that you might be spending on vaccines. So the agents that we think are involved in this are all of them. So when we look for bacterial pathogens, we find them. All of the common bacterial pathogens are represented, the Pasteurellas, the Manheimias, the Histophilus, and so on. We can find them. The viral components that probably initiate this process we're less clear about. We're pretty confident because of doing some heavy diagnostics that this is not necessarily a BVD problem. Some herds may have BVD in them, but it doesn't seem to be a major component of it. Anecdotally, a lot of these ranches, veterinarians that are working up these ranches, find bovine coronavirus. So we're suspicious about bovine coronavirus, but I can't say that that's whether it's an important player or not. If we think about what's going on here in terms of the host, there's a loss of antibodies from colostrum over time. Those antibodies are essentially gone by 90 days. It doesn't matter how high the antibodies were. They're gone by the time that calf is about 90 days of age. And here's some data that just shows that for a variety of viruses. This was a study that was done at Oklahoma State where they were looking at antibodies in calves over time. And so you can see that regardless of the agent, they're gone by the time that calf is 90 to 100 days of age. Calves has an immune system that can respond to pathogens, but prior to 5 to 8 months of age, the immune response is slower, weaker, and easy to overcome. And so you might imagine that there's a point in time when antibodies from colostrum are disappearing and the immune system hasn't really ramped up to full power. And that might be the time period when calves get sick, and it is. So here's some real data from outbreak investigations that we've conducted in Nebraska, and you can see that the incidence was highest in calves that were between 90 and 120 days of age. Similar data from the U.S. Meat Animal Research Center. So here's the distribution of illnesses from all of these ranches that we've worked with. It represents about 10,000 calves from 28 management groups in seven herds, and so you can see that there's this cluster of sick calves in the, you know, maybe centered around 30 days of age, and then there's another larger cluster of sick calves between 90 and 150 days of age. That pattern is similar to what was also reported from the Meat Animal Research Center looking at cattle in that operation over 20 years, and that's representing about 110,000 calves. We looked at those different phases to look for risk factors. And in the first 75 days of age, those calves that got sick in the first 75 days, that was most likely. Those calves were most likely to have a 2-year-old dam for a mother. In fact, they were 5 times more likely. Let me get my dot out of that. 5 times more likely to get sick if their dam was a 2-year-old in the first 75 days of age. Later, it was more likely to be older cows. So you might think about why that might be. Why would calves born to heifers be more likely to get sick at a young age? We thought about that, and we thought it might have to do with failure of passive transfer. Maybe those calves didn't get adequate volumes of colostrum because they were nursing a heifer. And so we looked at the role of passive transfer of maternal antibodies. We did this on a single ranch. We bled about 384 calves. 9% of those CAS had failure to pass a transfer, and if they did, they were 3.4 times more likely to have pneumonia. And they were 3 times more likely to be treated for BRD in the first 80 days of age. All right, so failure to receive colostrum puts calves at risk for pneumonia prior to 75 days of age. This cluster of calves here probably represents those calves that failed to get colostrum at birth. But tell me what explains this larger number of cases that's happening after that, after 75 days of age. Well, we believe what happens, and so the typical history in these ranches is that while I sometimes have some sporadic cases, some calves, some young calves that get sick, but then sometime later on in the summer, I'll go out there and I'll see that I've got sick calves, and when I start to look around, I realize that they're all sick. And so we have these sudden, rapid epidemics of sickness in calves that are 3, 4, 5 months of age. And we believe what's going on is, at that point, once they've lost the immunity, the protection that all of them had, they've lost it all at once, and so that's a loss of herd immunity. And this is just an example of that. So these are titers of for BRSV, one of the viruses that might cause this problem. At 2 days of age, those calves that have acquired colostrum, most of them have protection. On this side of the line is the protection, and here at 2 days of age, you can see that most of the calves have adequate protection against this virus. As the calves get older, the titers are decreasing because they're losing their maternal antibodies. A lot more of the calves are susceptible. By the time those calves are averaging 117 days, almost all of the calves are susceptible to the virus. That's the time when the group is susceptible to the disease. My analogy to that is, if I walk out in my front yard in March and I toss a match out, nothing happens, and I might be able to do that in April and May. But in June, if I walk out there and toss a match into my front yard, I'm likely to have a grass fire, right? Everybody, all of the grasses have become susceptible, and it will burn. Here's an example of that from just one of the ranches we investigated. So these lines represent the proportion of calves that are between 100 and 120 days of age. There were some sick calves at an early age, probably failed to get colostrum. There are a few calves that got sick later, but the outbreak did not occur. Here's where the large number of calves got sick until the majority of the calves were greater than 100 or 120 days of age. All right. So what we see is two patterns that may be explained by failure of passive transfer, resulting in sporadic cases of pneumonia in very young calves, and loss of immunity resulting in larger outbreaks of pneumonia in calves that are 75 to 150 days of age. What I really want to talk to you about are the environmental factors. So these are all of the things that we put our cattle exposed to: management practices, the environmental conditions, and so forth. After studying a number of these herds, we had some questions. We were prepared to conduct a survey of producers, and we did that in 3 states, in the Plains states, Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska. And then we also asked similar questions in 3 eastern states. What we found from that survey was, and I'll just get to the point, there was a positive association with the use of estrus cycle synchronization programs in cattle. Okay, so the producers that reported that yes, they have some problems with pneumonia in their calves, also were more likely to say, we use estrus cycle synchronization. They were also more likely to say that they introduced calves from an outside source, or that they offered supplemental feed to the calves. They used a creep feeder. Following that, we conducted a case control study. So we interviewed veterinary-identified cases of summer pneumonia, and in every one of those veterinarians, we randomly selected from their client list control herds. So the case herds had to have greater than 5% of the nursing calves with the treated for BRD, and the control herds had to have less than 0.5% of their nursing calves treated for BRD. We had two control herds for each case. We did this in South Dakota, North Dakota, and Nebraska. There were 30 case herds and 54 control herds. And we asked them a lot of questions about how they manage their calves. Out of all of these questions, three factors were significantly associated with those case herds. They were the number of cows in the herd, whether intensive grazing was used, and whether or not the cows were synchronized for calving or for breeding. All right, so number of cows in the herd, and the odds increased. The odds for a case herd to be a larger herd increased with the size of the herd. Intensive grazing or not, if they said that they did intensive grazing, the odds were three times greater that they were a case herd than a control herd. And if they said that they used some kind of a synchronization program, the odds that they were a case herd having problems with BRD was 4.5 times greater. So we're looking at pneumonia in calves prior to weaning as being a childhood disease of cattle due to their age-related susceptibility. They've lost their colostrum, and they've lost their herd immunity. And interestingly, it seems to be paradoxically associated with practices of highly managed herds, right? Larger herds following intensive grass management and intensive reproduction management. So are those factors important? One of the ways of evaluating whether a factor is important or not is by calculating the attributable fraction. So I've just given you these numbers. Herd size, 70. If you're a herd of 150 to 499 cows and you have summer pneumonia in your calves prior to weaning, 71% of the risk for you to have that is explained by your herd size. If you do intensive grazing and you have pneumonia in your calves, 60% of that risk for that disease is explained by the practice of intensive grazing. And if you do estrus synchronization and you have calves that get pneumonia, you can attribute 64% of that risk due to the fact that you do estrus synchronization. Those are big numbers. They mean they're important, right? And if you looked at the impact on the beef industry as a whole, and you sum these up, these three factors, herd size, intensive grazing, and estrus synchronization, explain more than half of the occurrence of calf-foot BRD. So yeah, intensive management practices, larger herd size, seem to be associated with this problem. How can that be? How can it be that giving some reproductive hormone to a cow makes her calf get sick? Well, in larger herds, intensive grazing and estrus synchronization, all of these practices increase the opportunities for calves to be closer together. If you're talking about a contagious pathogen, there's greater opportunities for one calf to share it with another. In particular, if you think about estrus synchronization of cows, where you've got calves that have to be sorted off, you can imagine the greater risk that those calves have, depending on how they're managed. They're under stress. They've probably been trailed and exposed to a lot of dust. They've been penned for some period of time while you're working with the cows. Lots of opportunities for those calves to share pathogens. Also with estrus synchronization, right, as you tighten up that calving distribution and you have more and more calves born in a smaller window of time, they all become susceptible in a shorter window of time, leading to the loss of herd immunity, the sudden loss of herd immunity. We said that was about $28 per cow in those affected herds with a 64% attributable fraction. That means that you can probably attribute $18 of that cost to the estrus synchronization. And that amounts to about 10 to 15 pounds per calf, right? To pay for the $18 losses, you have to have 10 to 15 pounds more calf. And that's also requires a 5 to 7 day shift in the median day of calving, right, to make up that loss of $18. So can you do that with estrus synchronization? Can you get back the 5 to 7 days or the 10 to 15 pounds per calf? Can you make back the $18 per cow? Well, I think that's for you to decide, but the reason why you do those things is to increase the total pounds that you market, to have more value added because you're marketing a more uniform lot of calves, that you have better reproductive success because you've increased your days to breeding, and some of you, because you're doing this in association with AI, are improving your genetics. So that the question for you is, right, can you, even though there's some increased risk associated with, can you get it back by the benefits of estrus synchronization? There's some other things that we can think about doing. We've had some success in herds that have annual problems with this BRD in calves prior to weaning by having them vaccinate twice before 90 days of age. Now, that's a big deal. That's a lot to ask somebody to do. But those herds that have done it have had some success doing it. And some of those herds have included a bovine coronavirus vaccine in the mix. Now, that vaccine's not labeled for preventing respiratory disease, and you'll need to work with your veterinarian to assess whether that's an appropriate thing for you. Age of exposure, we can think about if we're going to commingle cattle, like at the time of estrus synchronization, that should happen maybe earlier. At least don't do those practices, commingling different pasture groups when you're in this risk period of the 90 to 150 days. If you're going to have to sort off calves to work cows for estrus synchronization or other practices, go easy on them. Think about the conditions that you're putting them in and that it puts them at greater risk for pneumonia. Some herds have had benefits by weaning early while those calves are still under the protective influence of maternal antibodies. And think about the risks of trailing calves or transporting calves during that period of risk, after those calves have lost their maternal antibodies in that 90 to 150 days. Finally, we know that calves are at their greatest risk for pneumonia at 90 to 150 days of age. That's a period of time when you really need to pay as close of attention to your cattle as you can. Identify those calves as soon as possible to minimize the death losses. All right, thanks. I want to acknowledge that some of this work was funded by Zoetis, and it was also funded by an endowment that I receive at Mississippi State University. If anybody has any thoughts about this problem and they'd like to contact me, my email address is here. I think the information's also in the proceedings, but I'd really appreciate hearing from any of you about your thoughts about the problem, and I appreciate your time and attention. Thank you.